Hey, Hawkeye fans, Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register reunited with Kennington Smith of the Des Moines Register, but not in person yet, unfortunately. Airport drama everywhere, delayed my arrival in Na Nashville. Wasn't anything on my end, but other planes didn't come through. So I will be arriving in Nashville tomorrow, Kennington. Thank you for holding down the fort today. You got to go to practice. This is our first show together in more than 2 weeks because of company mandated time off, where we've been off 1 week or another. So it's nice to see you, my friend. I hope what's the nutshell version of your life in the last 17 days or whatever it's been?
First of all, it's definitely great to be back. I feel bad, and I've said this to you multiple times in the time that I've been off because it felt like my week on and your week off was a lot more chill. I know, Eric all committed and we have some things going on, but I leave out and you're dealing with Kaden Proctor's decommitment and signing day, and then basketball's losing to Eastern Illinois and everything else in between. I was like, man, I really wish I was there to like help you out. So I thank you for holding down the fort. But I've been good. Just being back home in Atlanta, the weather was much warmer than it was in Iowa. But there was a bit of a crisis in the city. So it did get really cold the few days leading up to and after Christmas. It felt like 0 degrees. It was under 20, which is pretty rare in Atlanta this time of year. And pipes were bursting throughout the city, like at the airport and major businesses, pipes bursting, a lot of flooding. I can count easily 10 friends or people that I know that had pipes burst in their houses. So flooding in apartments, flooding in their houses, and my own house with my parents, our water heater was out for a few days. So it was kind of crazy. And honestly, I was concerned driving up here, like, is Nashville going to be the same way? Is the hotel going to have hot water or running water at all? But thankfully, I checked in with no problem and everything seems to be all good here. But that's been my life. Really good to see my parents and all that, and looking forward to going back to Atlanta after the bowl game and spending a few more days with them before I head to Rutgers for men's basketball that same week. So I've been enjoying the time off, but I'm ready to get back into the swing of things. And even though I wasn't active on Twitter, social media, and talking that much, I was very much keeping up with everything that's going on. So ready to jump right in and have some great conversation.
Ah, yeah. Well, let's jump into it. A little rusty here, but just to give you everyone, thank you for tuning in. By the way, HawkCentral.com, YouTube page. Kind of re. It's been a while. It's been a while. Here's our menu of shows this week. It's a little bit different. It's bowl week. Our plan is to do a YouTube pod today, which you're seeing now. A YouTube pod on Wednesday. After both of us are in Nashville, and there's another open practice tomorrow. There's a Fran McCaffrey availability tomorrow as well. That'll be interesting to see if Chris Murray and Connor McCaffrey are coming back, and also just the fallout from that Eastern Illinois loss, the return of Big Ten play, and our Hawk Central radio show will be pushed to Thursday this week, just because of KXNO conflicts, which actually works out pretty well on our end because Thursday is the players' day, Iowa players' day off. So there's no media on Thursday. So that gives us a good chance to dig into the Kentucky matchup itself. We'll have to do some five big questions, Kennington, on that day. And then Friday, we will talk to the coordinators, Brian Ferentz, Phil Parker, and the head coach, Kirk Ferentz. So there'll be a lot to break down on Friday. That may be an audio-only pod. We will see. But we'll definitely be on YouTube today and tomorrow, radio show Thursday. All right, Kennington, let's start. You got to go to practice today. I wish I could be there. Give me set the scene for me. And actually, you know what? Let's start with the news of the day because that's where we should start a show. Nico Reggiani, coming back for a sixth year. We don't usually hear these kinds of declarations before the bowl game. So tell me how it unfolded down there in Nashville.
Yeah, it was a huge surprise that he said it at that moment. Like you said, not that he's coming back, but we're during player availability. It's a group of us there. I believe it was Tom Caker from Hawkeye Report that just asked him just very matter of factly. He said, "Is this going to be your last game?" And Nico said no. And then Tom paused for a bit and said, no, I mean like at Iowa. And Nico said, no, it's not going to be my last game. So he said, you know, I'm coming back for a sixth season. Then he went into a bit of his decision making and said he was weighing, obviously, the NFL or coming back to Iowa. And he said it wasn't a stressful decision because those are two very exciting opportunities either way. And he just decided that, you know, coming back with the team, going at it for another year and the opportunity that was going to be ahead of him was too good to pass up. And I followed up the line of questioning and asked him, when exactly did he decide? Was it right after the Nebraska game? Did he take some time to think about it? And he said that this decision was something that you kind of think about as the season is unfolding. And like he said, he was weighing those options and ultimately decided to come back. And obviously for Iowa, that is really big because wide receiver is still a huge question mark. They haven't gotten anybody out of the portal yet. We anticipate they're going to get, you know, somebody. I know they're kicking the tires on a few players, but they're going to bring in somebody additionally. They're bringing in, I believe, three wide receivers from high school. So to have Nico back in the room, oldest player, most tenured player on the team, really good possession receiver, and what he could bring to the table with Cade McNamara, quarterback, is pretty exciting, and it probably opens up a dynamic, or maybe he'll be able to do some things that he hasn't been able to do in years past. So huge news ahead of the bowl game, and a big momentum builder, I feel like, going into the offseason.
Well, and now you get Nico gets a chance to hopefully for him have a healthy sixth year senior season. I think that was the big, I assume he mentioned that because he started the year with that foot injury, suffered that on Kids Day, fracture that he came back from probably a little too quickly, but Iowa needed him desperately. So he missed the first two games. You know, if he's available, I think Iowa beats Iowa State in week two. And doesn't have as much trouble with South Dakota State in week one. You look at Nico's production, 32 catches, 365 yards this year, but that's with really missing most of the first half of the year. His best game actually was three of his five best games were in the last five games, finishing with seven catches, 60 yards against Nebraska. Obviously had three for 56 in the touch at Purdue, and then had four for 66 against Northwestern. And he was pretty good against Michigan, early in the year, kind of showed off his ability. So right now, any depth help to me is a big deal. And then last week on the Zoom, we had Deontay Vines, and he was a guy that we were wondering if he might jump into the transfer portal. It sounds like he, wants to come back, renewing his commitment to Iowa, essentially. So we go into this bowl game, Kennington, with Vines and Reggiani, both with with obviously a new quarterback here, but the chance to prove themselves. And we weren't sure either one of them would be back next year. Now this gives them both a chance to kind of set the stage for 2023, especially with Brody Brecht, right, not practicing today. So right. Iowa's receiver room thin. All the more important that Nico Reggiani is available.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that both of them recognize at Iowa, it's a system that they know. Both of them are presumably going to be healthy going into next season. And it is interesting that these are two players. I know you mentioned Nico's injury, but Deontay was a big stock riser in fall camp, and he was very limited because of a wrist injury. We saw how much trust that Spencer Petras had in him. When his first game back, he was targeting him right away. So if you're an Iowa coach, you feel good about those two guys coming back. And I think they recognize that there's a lot of playing time on the table. There's a lot of targets on the table. And it has to be exciting to know that Cade McNamara is going to be in the fold. So you have, a quarterback who has led a team to a college football playoff, won the Big Ten under center. They're going to have Eric All and Luke Lachey at tight end. So those are going to be a pair of tight ends that are going to be able to open things up in the passing game as well. You would think that there's going to be development and growth along the offensive line. You feel good about Caleb Johnson and LeSean Williams coming back at running back. So I think that they see themselves as big pieces of the offense next year, but I think that they look at the offense and say there's real potential for the entire unit to take some strides forward, which would be good news for them as well, that they'll be able to get some more opportunities and some more recognition, hopefully. So really big news. We'll see what happens with Brody Breck. We'll see tomorrow at open practice if he's back practicing. But he was doing non-contact work. He wasn't in pads at all. So we'll be monitoring that as the week goes on. But, you know, those two have an opportunity to, you know, stake their claims as, you know, receiver one and two going into next year, starting Saturday against Kentucky.
Yeah, a couple. Let's take a look at next year's passing game just a little bit while we, you know, got this moment. Vines, Reggie Eni, we obviously know. Jacob Bostic and Brody Brecht would be the other returnees. Of course, there are some walk-ons like Alec Wick. Nothing that jumps off the page is like, oh, man, we're going to be okay there if you're a Hawkeye fan. The two portal guys that are kind of still floating out there, correct me if I'm wrong, Isaac Tesla. The D2 transfer from Hillsdale College, whose film is just outstanding. He's 6 foot four, 210 pounds, and had huge numbers. And he's down to Iowa State, and it sounds like Baylor. He's going to visit Baylor early next month and make a decision after that. So those are kind of his three schools. Seth Anderson, also the transfer from Charleston Southern. And that would be another nice get. I think he was in town, looked like he was happy with the visit. You always wish, if you're a Hawkeye fan, you know, the guy commits on his visit, right? So maybe, you know, hopefully not a bad sign there, but he's still in the mix, I believe. He's got, according to Tom's board at Hawkeye Report, has Iowa, Georgia Tech, App State in the mix there. So I don't know. What do you think? Is he going to go to Georgia Tech? He can't go to Georgia Tech, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because Tech has been very active in the portal. They're one of the most active teams. They got Haynes King from Texas A&M, who was, I believe he was the quarterback when they beat Alabama last year, if I'm not mistaken. But he was a multi-game starter at Tech. They've gotten several other guys out of the transfer portal as well. It might be hard to overcome the hometown aspect for Seth Anderson from the Metro Atlanta area, an opportunity to go to Tech, presumably be a key wide receiver, you know, link up with Haynes King, who was a highly touted quarterback and was at Texas A&M. So I don't have any inside information on that, but just me reading the tea leaves from the outside, that might be a tough hill to climb, but I think that Iowa can offer the same things as well, and obviously a better chance to win. Iowa is definitely a better football program right now, wins loss-wise, than Tech is. So Iowa should feel good about where both of those guys are in terms of what they can offer in terms of opportunity, playing time, the quarterback, a chance to go to the Big Ten championship game as well. So we'll see what happens, but I would expect them to continue to try to sift through the portal and bring in potential pass catchers.
Yeah, they got to. They got to.
Yeah.
But we haven't discussed the Eric All commitment. I know it's a little bit of old news here, but together we haven't discussed that. And, man, that really is a comforting thing, I think, to know that Eric All and Kirk Ferentz even said it last week, that he's going to be available. You know, they're not worried about the back surgery. They wouldn't have brought him in if they were concerned about it. So to have him and Luke Lachey in the fold for next year, that's a good starting point at tight end, but you still gotta, you know, they're gonna have to do some work in this portal. I'm not sure if Tesla will satisfy the masses that's year one in, but to me he looks like somebody they could use. But I feel like they still need to bring in others. And then that, you know, on signing day, Kennington, there was a lot of really positive talk about the incoming signees. I mean, that's another factor here. I mean, you don't really see true freshmen like just instantly have an impact, but Tyler Barnes was basically, you know, in regards to the young man from Kansas City, why is his name escaping me,
Dayton Howard,
he's like, I don't know what he's on that, you know, I'm not, basically Kansas State and Kansas, not sure what they're doing, why they fell asleep on him, because they feel really good about him, and he's a real tall receiver out of that area. So anyway, there's some strands of hope there at receiver, and you have to just kind of, I think it's not a great plan yet. I think we need to see more work from the portal, right? But at this point, you just At this point, you hope the quarterback kind of lifts, you know, is the tide that, you know, lifts all boats, so to speak.
Yeah, in terms of the three incoming receivers, and I'm not, you know, I haven't evaluated all of these guys in depth to know exactly how much they could contribute early, but just generally, when you think about players like the ones bringing in, I know Alex Mota was a priority commit from the beginning, but when you look at a Dayton Howard, who was a late signee, didn't have many offers, Jarrett Bowie from Tampa as well, who comes from a really good high school program, Jesuit, Todd Bowles, the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, his son plays on that team, and Dane Belton went there as well. So really good program. But when you look at those type of guys who maybe necessarily didn't have Power 5 offers or weren't highly recruited, you might think of them more as project or developmental type players. So I think them coming in, you would expect them to maybe be a little bit behind the curve. I think that's going to be obviously the responsibility of Kelton Copeland to develop those guys. So I think that you will look at those three coming in as more project type players. Maybe if they can contribute later on down the line in the season, that would be great. But you definitely need veteran, proven receivers, you know, to start off of the bat, I believe, you know, especially with, you know, Cade coming in, Eric All, you're going to want to kind of start fast and continue that momentum out, you know, throughout the rest of the season. You don't want to find yourself in a situation really like they've been in the last 2 years, where they've kind of had this midseason lull or early season lull, and they're climbing uphill, trying to reach the finish line with a lot of momentum. So I think from that aspect, you definitely want to be able to add in some veteran pieces to mix in with the young talent, and then you feel pretty good about where the pass catching group is as a whole.
Yeah, and I should mention, you know, Iowa feels pretty good about this signing of Terrell Washington Jr. out of Texas. You know, Benjamin's old high school, kind of crazy how history repeats itself. He'll come in as a running back, but it kind of looks to me like he's sort of in that Arland Bruce type mold, where I think he's going, or Tyrone Tracy Jr., that type of gadget type guy. And he's here in January. So they feel, and that's a Purdue commit. So Purdue wanted him. That's good. So we will, I guess we'll just, you know, that'll be interesting to see how that all unfolds. And then I just wanted to ask you, Kenny, who else did you get today? We know Nico, but who else talked and what stood out today?
Oh, man, we had a lot of players. I mean, John Wagner, Riley Moss, Jack Campbell, Sam Laporta, Mason Richmond, and Caleb Johnson and Cooper DeJean. So we had a full depth of players. One thing that stuck out to me, and I wrote about this, the story is live now on Hawk Central, but one of the big things that I always pay attention to, this is both as a fan of my alma mater, Georgia, and then looking at Iowa, is bowl practice is so important because it allows for younger players to get a lot more reps than they would during the season. Because week to week in season, you're just so focused on your opponent, you don't necessarily have that time to really like devote to, you know, young players getting an opportunity to run your own schemes. A lot of times they're running the other team's schemes as a member of the scout team. So bowl practice was an opportunity for those guys to get some development. I talked to John Wagner, who said that of the 12-ish practices that they've had up to this point, about 8 of them were just Iowa focusing on Iowa and going up against their own defense. So a lot of time for those young guys to learn their own system. And I asked a lot about who were some of the guys who are stepping up and showing that development. So, you know, on the defensive line, he pointed out Max Llewellyn, Aaron Graves, Jeremiah Pittman, Brian Allen, Caden Crawford, which is really good news because all of those are true freshmen, redshirt freshmen. Riley Moss said that Deshaun Lee at cornerback was really coming on, and he was a part of the second team defense today at cornerback. So he's taking advantage of the fact that there's been a lot of attrition at defensive back via the portal, and Kayvon Merriweather opting out of the bowl game. And he pinpointed AJ Lawson as well. And you mentioned Jacob Bostic earlier. Nico said that he's really come on during bowl practice, as well as walk-on Reese Osgood, who was traveling with the team at some point, you know, throughout the season. So that was, you know, one of my main focuses today was just, you know, who were some of the younger guys coming on and who was kind of taking advantage of the opportunity. So that was probably the biggest thing that stuck out to me. And then, you know, I know we're talking about Kentucky and our five big questions for Thursday's radio show. But, you know, obviously with Kentucky having a lot of uncertainty at quarterback, that kind of puts Iowa's defense in a bind a little bit, just because there's just so much uncertainty. There's a lack of film on the guys remaining. I think Riley Moss said that one of the guys hasn't even played in college yet, so they're looking at his huddle from high school just to try to, you know, get a feel from him amongst, you know, a whole bunch of other things. But those were like the two big things that stuck out to me today.
I'm sorry. I wish I could have been there. That's a lot of players. We could have handled it a lot better. But yeah. Hopefully you got video, you know, 10 minutes of video with each one of them, so I can just watch it and steal the quotes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad. Really glad you could be there. I'm really sorry I couldn't be, but great job reporting. In fact, I was just actually ticking through the 10 observations in while you were talking there. That's live on Hawk Central from practice. And yeah, I think the Deshaun Lee thing is interesting. I mean, he can play in this game and not lose eligibility. That's a great deal for Iowa there. And also a good sign. And like you said, a great chance here for Jacob Bostic because we liked him. We liked him.
Yeah.
And, you know, an early season injury again, especially if Brody Brecht is out, if he could pop a little bit in this game. Anything you gleaned from quarterback in this? Sam Laporta, the third string quarterback. I like it.
Yeah.
I want some Taysom Hill action. I want some, you know, third and one Wildcat with Laporta, man. Just line it up and
run it. Yeah, let it rip. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
You know, in a situation like that where you're playing with house money. But no, that was hilarious to see Laporta as the third quarterback. And it was funny because Brian Ferentz was there telling the quarterbacks, you know, selling this play call, that play call. And they were just practicing handing off, you know, left, right, their footwork. Laporta's footwork was obviously all off. And there was a moment where, you know, a shotgun snap went past his head. So it was a little funny.
We saw that. Yeah.
Right. And Deontay Vines also took a few snaps as well under center. But as far as the quarterbacks go, from talking to players, everybody seems very excited about Joe Labus and the opportunity that he has. And, you know, going back to the practice notes, the big thing that we saw their starting offense run against the scout team defense was a lot of RPO action, which is something that, you know, Iowa, I don't know, maybe you could tell me the last time that they've, you know, ran that in a game. Definitely hasn't been the last 2 years, but that was really interesting to see both, you know, Joe Labus and Carson May, who has mobility as well, running that set. A lot of two tight end action, three tight end action with two tight ends and a fullback. And, you know, Deontay Vines split out as a solo receiver from time to time. Nico did the same from time to time as well. Jacob Bostic and Jack Johnson were the two second team receivers during the viewing period. So that was probably the big thing that I saw. I know that you wrote about Joe Labus and his ability to extend plays with his legs. So then to actually physically see them taking, you know, a significant amount of practice time, at least in the early part, working on that RPO game, lets you know that, you know, that's something that we're going to see on Saturday, and it'll be really interesting how effective it is against Kentucky.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how much we do see, because obviously this is, you know, a little bit of information that the coaches are letting out, and they obviously will want Kentucky to prepare for that. I mean, so it gives them a little something new to think about. You know, maybe they want Kentucky to prepare for it, and then they're not going to run it. So we don't know. We don't know for sure on that front. But I'm super intrigued, yeah, about just seeing what it's like to have a mobile quarterback there for Iowa. We've been kind of preaching that. Now, obviously, Joe Labus does not have the institutional knowledge of Spencer Petras, who I saw in photos is there with his right arm in the sling, helping out. And Labus even said that. He said, you know, Spencer's helping me out on every play. So that's a great thing that he's got him at least helping him along. So I'm just excited. To me, that's the most fun thing about this game is just let's see what Smoking Joe Labus can do, man.
Yes, right? Sir. The agenda.
That's right. What was our last agenda?
Yeah. That you're 100% right. That's the intrigue of this game. I feel like leading up to the bowl announcement, there was so little interest in the bowl game, especially after they lost to Nebraska. There wasn't a Big Ten championship at stake or anything like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, Spencer Petras is out for the bowl game. Alex Padilla enters into the portal. And now you have Joe Labus in there. And this is somebody that, you know, the fans have been, now, I don't want to say necessarily calling for, but people have been wondering what's been going on with his development. Has he been closing the gap? What element can he bring with his legs and the size that he has? He's kind of has, like, you know, Spencer's build in a way of like that 6'4", you know, 200 plus, but he has mobility like Alex Padilla. So what could that look like in Iowa's offense? And now they're getting a chance to see it. And it has been kind of funny, like, looking on Twitter and seeing, you know, fans and people say, like, I hope Joe goes out there and throws for 405 touchdowns. And there's a quarterback controversy again in the springtime with Case. So I can appreciate that the fans are having fun with it. And I also appreciate the fact that there is some, you know, legitimate interest in this game, not only from him, but just across the whole offense. Like, can Jacob Bostic flash, like you said? Can the offensive line take a step forward? Will this be a game where Jazzy Patterson gets some carries? And I see something from him as well. So all of a sudden, there's a lot of intrigue in the game. And while I don't think the outcome is going to determine, you know, the success of Iowa's football team next year, I'm definitely going to be looking for potential building blocks going into the offseason.
Yeah, Jazzy is another one that could play in this game and not lose a year. So that'll be kind of a free game for him. On Saturday? So they didn't bring Torrey Taylor, huh? I was interested.
No.
That would have been one I would have wanted to ask what his plans are for next year. And obviously Lucas Van Ness would be the other junior that I think we're probably thinking about that at least has a decision to make. I don't have inside knowledge on this. They've kind of shut this down, but I would think Taylor would be ready to move on. But
yeah,
because he cannot earn NIL money as a non-citizen, so, or whatever the exchange program is there, or as an Australian citizen, there's things he can't do. I mean, the money he raises obviously doesn't go to him. So anyway, I would think he'd be ready, but I mean, it'd be awesome if he came back for Iowa next year. But the reason I was thinking about that is because this, what will Iowa's strategy to win be in this game? Punting and not making mistakes on offense and relying on the defense, obviously. And we'll get to that later in the week. Just a couple minutes left, Kennington, and I kind of like, spaced off our three downs format. So let's call this third down here in the last 3 or 4 or 5 minutes we have. What's the deal with this Gary Barta open letter today? Give me fans that aren't clued in to the Swarm Collective, the Gary Barta rift, kind of Brad Heinrichs' comments. Can you boil it down today and tell me what Gary Barta's statement said that has any meaning?
Well, to me at least, the only thing that has significant meaning is that he is holding firm on his stance to not openly share the contact information of Iowa season ticket holders with the Swarm Collective, which has become the central talking point of this. I don't know if contentious is the right word. Maybe it is the right word between the Swarm Collective right now and Iowa's administration. Over the last several days, we've seen the Swarm CEO Brad Heinrichs, you know, tweet about the lack of support that they feel from Iowa compared to their peers across college football. Most notably, he's mentioned Michigan and Ohio State as their athletic directors being very much embracing the idea of the collective and sharing this information openly with them. And that's something that he wishes that he had access to. And I think that the email list, again, is just kind of a microcosm of the overall support. I don't think that the list itself is the point of the matter. I think that it's his way of saying there is more that Iowa Athletics could be doing to support the Swarm, and they're not doing that. And by them not doing that, it will hurt recruiting efforts down the line. And a big thing on the Iowa Athletic side that I know that Gary Barta has spoken to is, Title IX compliance and those type of things. So that's kind of where it stands. Outside of that one nugget about the email list, this open letter really kind of stated a lot of what we already knew, that NIL is changing college athletics, that Iowa embraces name, image, and likeness, and that they've collabed on a few things. I know the Gary Dolphin Ed Podolak anniversary dinner in the fall was one thing, and flying up members of the Swarm Collective when Iowa played Duke basketball was something, and he referenced those things as well. But that's kind of where it stands right now. I don't think anything changed from Gary Barta's open letter. It just seems very much like a stalemate right now. So we'll have to see where it goes from here. But one thing I did find interesting is that I had a lot of season ticket holders tweet me back because I was, you know, talking about this on the timeline, and they expressed that they didn't want their information to be openly shared with a third party either. They're like, you know, I'm aware of the Swarm and I, you know what's going on. I just don't want my information kind of in the wind, so to say, even though it is being shared with an entity that is directed with Iowa Athletics. They still just don't want it out there. So I've seen people compromise, say, you know, use compromises of have Iowa Athletics reach out to them directly and say, you know, opt in, opt out, et cetera, et cetera. Some people are questioning, you know, how much of the list matters, you know, how big of a deal is it to have it or, you know, to not have it, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of an ongoing thing. We'll see what happens from here. But, you know, 99% of that open letter was, you know, nothing in my opinion. And that 1% about the email list was probably the biggest takeaway.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, there you go. I don't know what that noise was there, but someone bugging you. Bugging your phone there about Swarm Collective stuff. Last important piece of information I need to know, Kennington, is how's our hotel? And have you scoped out some good? You got to scope out some good spots for us. So that's since you're first there, that is your job. Your main job now is to get me, and also you need to get me to some southern fast food place I've never been to before, at least once. It doesn't even have to be fast food; it can be a restaurant, whatever. So. That's the itinerary. Are you up to the job?
Yeah, I have you 100%. I don't know if this I don't know if it's a free promotion or if it counts as free promotion, but we're set. You know, the hotel, they gave us a list of like restaurants on both sides, and they actually have like the hours and the specials. So it's like happy hours or whatever going down on both sides.
There you go.
But I do have one place that my mom suggested. She's a foodie. And she suggested it. So we'll go there, get some fried fish and all of that.
Yes.
There is a cookout out here. People who follow me on Twitter know that I have been advocating for a cookout to come to Iowa. So maybe we can drive through there one night, get you a cookout tray for $5. And it's going to be the most food you've ever gotten from a fast food place for $5. I can guarantee that. Hotel is very nice. You know, I'm on my phone right now, so I can't really pan my room, but really nice hotel, which you chose. So big ups to you on that. We're in a great location as well. So I'm expecting it to be a fun week and can't wait for you to get down here.
Yeah, man, I should be that all goes well. I should be there tomorrow morning. Weather looks good. Can't wait to see you. And we will talk to you again tomorrow, Hawkeye fans. Our plan is to do a YouTube pod tomorrow. We'll get you the time. We don't know what the schedule is going to allow. In terms of, I just got to make sure I get there first, and then we'll figure that out. But thanks to all of you for tuning in. Thanks, Kennington, for holding down the fort. Can't wait to be alongside you again. And Hawk fans, we'll talk to you tomorrow. For Chad Lysticoat, Kennington Smith saying so long. Talk to you soon.